Do you remember the Cold War? Do you remember when it ended? Whatever happened to the giddy optimists and their predictions of the, quote, end of history, end quote? Let's face it, my friends, with the collapse of the Iron Curtain in 1989 and the subsequent end of the Soviet Union a couple of years later, there were many in the West who were convinced that a time of universal peace and prosperity was on the horizon. Those rosy predictions simply haven't proven out, have they? On the morning of September 11, 2001, two hijacked jetliners flew into the Twin Towers in New York City. Even the Pentagon itself was attacked and set afire. America responded by going to war, first with Afghanistan and later with Iraq. Our stated reasons involved wiping out the terrorists and spreading democracy. Things haven't gone the way that many had hoped. What comes next? As the world's lone superpower, can America really bend unresponsive nations to its will? Can America police the world? If you really want to know what lies ahead, then stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world.
This week, John O'Gwen asks, can America police the world? And now, John O'Gwen.
Well, greetings, friends. Is it really possible for America to police the world? On today's program, we're going to be examining that timely topic in the light of Bible prophecy. In order to really help you understand this matter in depth, we're also going to be offering you a little later a free booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. So be sure to jot down the address or the phone number to order your own personal copy. You know, the rosy predictions that were made at the end of the Cold War simply haven't panned out, have they? Many Americans, including many high in government, naively assumed that the rest of the world not only needed to become, but also wanted to become more like us. Free markets and democracy were touted as the answer to all of the world's problems. Then came 9/11. Now, when the Twin Towers came down in New York, however, things changed overnight. First, the target was Afghanistan, viewed as both a safe haven and a training ground for terrorists. Of course, overthrowing the Taliban and occupying Kabul, Afghanistan's capital, proved to be the easy part. America and its allies soon found that they were bogged down in the same nation-building experience that many Bush administration stalwarts had decried when the Clinton administration had attempted it in the Balkans. While still engaged in conflict in Afghanistan, America began preparations to move against one of the component nations of what President Bush had defined as part of an axis of evil. Iraq, Iran, and North Korea constituted this axis. Saddam Hussein's bellicose posturing had long cast him as the perfect villain in a Middle East melodrama. The invasion of Iraq came next. As with Afghanistan, it soon became evident that overthrowing a corrupt regime in a backward country is far easier than producing a stable, progressive successor state. Now, what comes next for the United States and for the world? As we're going to see a little later, Bible prophecy actually reveals the future of the Western world and of the entire planet Earth. For well over a decade, America has been touted as the world's lone superpower. Will the American government be able to bend unresponsive nations to its will and be able to produce a world of peace and freedom? Make no mistake about it, my friends, the rout of the Taliban and the toppling of Saddam Hussein did not guarantee the future banishment of all brutal dictatorships from the world scene. There is irreconcilable conflict between Israel and the Palestinians over Jerusalem. There's genocide in Sudan, and there are ethnic and religious conflicts the world over. Can America police the whole world? Prior to the invasion of Afghanistan, many liberal critics wrung their hands. They talked about an American defeat at the hands of the Taliban, or at least that there would be a huge casualty list. Similar statements were made as a military invasion of Iraq was being contemplated. In both cases, the naysayers were proven wrong. In a short amount of time from the beginning of each conflict, American tanks rolled into Kabul and to Baghdad, respectively. Of course, the United States spends $400 billion a year on its military, in contrast to the bedraggled third world countries that we invaded. And additionally, their economies had both been further squeezed by years of international sanctions. An illusion has been created that the United States is powerful enough to impose its will anywhere. Frankly, my friends, it's a lot easier to mangle other people's armies than it is to manage their affairs. And Americans are increasingly learning this lesson. Now, let me ask you a question. Just where will an illusion of national omnipotence actually take us? Now, let's look here briefly in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride is very dangerous. Pride goes before destruction. A little later in the book of Proverbs, we read back here in Proverbs chapter 28, he that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. He that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat, or shall be prospered. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, God says. But who walks wisely, he shall be delivered. Remember, my friends, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now we could look just a little bit further in Proverbs chapter 29, in verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low. My friends, pride is a very dangerous quality, and it leads to a lot of problems. Now let's take a brief look at Afghanistan. This is where the United States has been engaged the longest. Afghanistan is located in Asia. It's east of Iran and north of Pakistan. Do you know what the current basis of the Afghan economy is? It's not generally talked about. Britain's Financial Times newspaper carried an article back in November 2004 with the headline, "Afghanistan is a narco economy," UK says. Now, in issuing such a statement, the British government was responding to a just-released United Nations report that reported a 64% increase in Afghanistan's opium production. 3 years after America's overthrow of the Taliban, opium had become the mainstay of the Afghan economy, and it accounted for a whopping 60% of the gross domestic product. Opium cultivation had risen from 8,000 hectares in 2001 to 131,000 hectares in 2004. Value of Afghan opium production is approaching $3 billion, and it accounts for a whopping 87% of the world's total supply. Clearly, America's overthrow of the Taliban government didn't solve the whole problem, did it? A stable, democratic Afghanistan has yet to emerge. And frankly, my friends, it's not even on the distant horizon. The central government, headed by Mohammad Karzai, has effective control of the capital and little else. The lucrative narcotics trade provides a corrupting influence that will not only undermine the efforts of the central government to control the country, but will also provide funding for future terrorism against America and its allies. Now, where is America's attempt to police the world really headed? Did you know that your Bible answers that question, and it does so in specific prophecies that directly mention the United States and Great Britain? Did you know that the English-speaking nations are talked about in the prophecies of your Bible? Well, my friends, we have a free booklet here, and it will explain this vital key to Bible prophecy. It will make plain this subject that is very important. This booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy, will show you where America, Britain, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand are directly identified in the pages of your Bible, and then we'll go on to show you what specifically lies ahead in the next few years. You need this free booklet, my friends. Please call or write for your own free copy right now.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic. What does the future hold for America's attempt to police the world? Now let's look at Iraq. Divided among Kurds, Sunnis, and Shiites, Iraq was one of several countries that was created at Versailles in the aftermath of World War I. The deeply rooted antagonisms shared by its constituent parts have led many analysts to speculate that Iraq is eventually destined to fracture along ethnic and religious lines. In the meantime, ongoing violence works to damage the morale and to test the resolve of America and its allies. Fueling protests back home, such ongoing violence has already taken its toll. Several governments have pulled troops and civilian contractors out of Iraq. It further fuels a talk of a quagmire, reminiscent of American involvement in Vietnam. President Bush has defined the centerpiece of American foreign policy as the spread of freedom. He's envisioned a string of democratic regimes in the Middle East as a cornerstone of promoting peace and prosperity in that troubled region. You know, my friends, reality is far, far different. Now think about it. What would really happen if there were truly one man, one vote throughout the region of the Middle East? Well, frankly, America and Britain would very quickly find that regimes favorable to the West would be voted out and replaced by hostile ones. Let's not forget that in the aftermath of 9/11, Osama became the single most popular name for newborn baby boys in much of the Arab world. Neoconservatives have emerged triumphant in the second Bush administration, declaring that America's mission is to spread freedom in the world. They stand ready to deploy America's unparalleled power to that end. Now, what's going to be the result of such an approach? Well, frankly, it can very quickly turn foreign policy into a series of armed missions. The unspoken rationale is that if the cause is noble, any means is justified. Writing in The Economist magazine, Richard Haas, president of the Council on Foreign Relations, made the following observation. Quote, America remains the world's preeminent actor, but it is also stretched militarily, in debt financially, divided domestically, and unpopular internationally. End quote. Currently, the budget deficit for the United States government is running at over $400 billion annually. Rising costs associated with homeland security and military interventions abroad have put a strain on the American economy that the administration has been loath to acknowledge. Far more than most can imagine, the American economy is increasingly at the mercy of bankers in Asia and Europe. Bankers who are buying our bonds and therefore financing us. We're going to ultimately learn what King Solomon meant when he wrote almost 3,000 years ago in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7. Because what we read here is that the borrower is subject to the lender. The borrower is subject to the lender, King Solomon said. And we're going to understand what that means, because America is now the world's largest debtor nation. We're the world's biggest borrower, believe it or not. Now, coupled with our huge and ever-mounting financial deficit is the strain that is being put on our military. Right now, over 150,000 troops in Iraq and Afghanistan or there from the United States government. And the United States would be hard-pressed to respond to a crisis on the Korean Peninsula, for instance, or for that matter, just about anywhere else. National Guard and Army Reserve units have been activated in an attempt to fill in the gaps created by an overstretched American military. How long can an all-volunteer army provide for America's needs if we attempt to police the whole world? Now, another factor that must be considered is America's tremendous dependence upon foreign oil. Currently, the United States imports over 12 million barrels of oil per day. That represents more than half of the oil that the nation consumes for its energy needs. With the close balance that exists between energy demands and energy production on the world scene, there is no reason to expect a significant reduction in high energy costs. Of course, if there were a disruption of oil production in a major producer, such as Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, or Nigeria, it would create drastic reverberations in both America and the rest of the world. For all of our power, we're far more vulnerable than we wish to believe. After all, no nation can remain a great power for long if the economic foundation of that power erodes. But let me ask you something. Is economics all that this is about? What is the real foundation of our national greatness? How did it come about? How long will it endure? You know, these are questions that neither the current administration nor its liberal critics can really answer. As astounding as it seems to most moderns on both ends of the political spectrum, the Bible contains the answer about what the future holds for America's current efforts to use American primacy in reshaping the world. You know, while the so-called religious right acknowledges that God is the source of America's national blessings, even they fail to understand why those blessings came about. Being ignorant of where America and the British descended nations are mentioned in the pages of Bible prophecy, they understand neither our amazing ascent to greatness nor our coming national fall. While selectively focusing on some of our national sins, they preach against homosexuality, for instance, and yet often ignore the rampant divorce and remarriage. That's generally passed over in silence. They fail to understand what is really ahead and why it lies ahead. Our national leaders, neither Republicans nor Democrats, know what lies just around the bend for America and its allies. Neither do the leaders of Britain, Australia, Canada, or New Zealand. You can know, my friends, you can know if you're willing to really look at the pronouncements of the Creator, if you're willing to look at what God says, the very one who has declared the end from the beginning, as the prophet Isaiah stated in Isaiah 46, you can know where America's efforts to reshape the world are headed in the years immediately ahead. Now, in order to help you understand this vitally important subject, we would like to offer you a free booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. This important booklet will show you exactly where our nations are identified in Bible prophecy and what the future holds for them in the years immediately ahead. It provides a vital key to understanding Bible prophecy and making sense of the world in which you live. Now, if you'll call or write right now, we'll send you your own personal copy, absolutely free of charge.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insight on today's important issue. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, did you know that the blessings of national bounty and greatness that are enjoyed by the British and American peoples are directly the result of promises that were made anciently to the patriarch Abraham? I want you to notice what Moses reminded our ancient ancestors as he prepared to lead them into the promised land. Because this warning is a warning that very directly applies to us and to our peoples, and it applies right now, and it explains a lot of the situation. It's contained in Deuteronomy chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 11. Beware that you forget not the Eternal, your God, in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command you this day. How is it that we forget God? You know, we talk about God. We have "In God We Trust" printed on our money. We talk about one nation under God. But God says that we forget Him if we don't keep His commandments, if we don't obey Him. He went on to say, lest when you have eaten and are full, and you have built goodly houses and you dwell therein, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart is lifted up. Pride comes in. And you forget the Eternal, your God, which brought you into the land. The blessings of national greatness that our people have enjoyed in the 19th and in the 20th centuries were the fulfillment of ancient prophecies of the birthright blessings that Abraham's grandson Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. These were conveyed by Jacob to his grandsons Ephraim and Manasseh through the laying on of hands. Let's notice in Deuteronomy chapter 28, in verse 12, Moses was told to tell the people, "The Lord shall open unto you His good treasure, the heaven, to give you rain upon the land in its season." He talks about you'll be blessed in the work of your hands. You'll lend to many people. You won't have to borrow. "The Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and shall not be beneath, if you hearken to the commandments of the Eternal." Now he goes on to say that we cannot take God's blessings for granted. We can't simply live any way that we choose and expect God's blessings to continue. With great blessings come great responsibilities, my friends. our English-speaking nations have increasingly rejected God. They have rejected the laws of God, thumbing our collective noses at the very one who has given us our national greatness. Now, God warned anciently through Moses what the consequences of such behavior would be. Notice on down a little further in Deuteronomy 28. Notice in verse 15. It shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal your God, to observe His commandments and His statutes which I have commanded you, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. In verse 18 he says, cursed shall you be when you go out, when you come in, cursed shall you be. The Eternal will send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you're destroyed, and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings, wherein you have forsaken me, God says. You know, while God in many ways used the British and American nations to police other nations during much of the last two centuries, that day is quickly drawing to a close. A nation that uses the name of God while rejecting His commandments cannot continue to receive His blessings. Rather, He will break the pride of our power, just as He prophesied in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 19. He's going to do that in order to bring us to national repentance. Then, finally rescued from the consequences of the great tribulation by the returning Jesus Christ, our nations will emerge greatly humbled and anxious to seek the true God and His ways. Jesus Christ is going to establish His government over the nations at that time. He will rebuke strong nations afar off. He will cause them to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, as is explained in Isaiah chapter 2. He will successfully police the world, and He will do so in righteousness. Once again, my friends, we invite you to call or write for our exciting booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy. Also, please tune in each and every week as Roderick Meredith, Richard Ames, and I make plain the prophecies of your Bible and explain to you God's great plan and your part in it. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.